We thank the Lord this morning for His goodness and faithfulness to us. And I'd like to share just a little message this morning on a deportment of honor. The Lord wants us as children of God to have a character. Our actions, our words, that they would be honorable and that they would show honor and respect to those in our lives that we deal with. I believe the scriptures have a great bearing on this topic. And I want to bring the thought too that Jesus came, He said, "I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." In other words, He had the mindset to, He wanted His life to be a blessing and a help and encouragement to other people. That was His thoughts. He wouldn't come, He said, I came not to be ministered to, but I came to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. And it's very, I believe, very vital for us to have that attitude of service. Of not just trying to receive and looking to see what we can get. We live in a world today that's very self-focused, very self-centered. Dream your dreams, do your thing, follow your vision. We live in a world that's just permeated with that mindset of self, self-pleasure, self-pleasing, self-gratifying. Regardless of what it costs, regardless of who it crosses, that's the type of environment that we live in. And we've got to reverse our thinking if we're going to please the Lord and honor the Lord with our lives, because as our example, He didn't come to be served. He came to do the serving. It's not always easy to serve. To serve, we have to make ourselves vulnerable. And you draw yourself out and you can become a target of criticism and remarks and, well, they didn't do that right, and didn't do this right. But Lord, help us this morning to go beyond those feelings and those things. And Lord, I just came to serve. I came to minister. And I believe if we approached life that way, and we approach family that way, if we approach our enemies that way, our friends that way, I believe our life will be very blessed. Because when we serve, we become, I believe, we mature and we grow spiritually. To me, that's the height of Christian maturity, is when you come to the place that you're willing to serve others. In whatever capacities you can, whatever abilities that God blesses, unselfishly serving others, to me, is a high mark of spiritual maturity in a child of God's life. You know, when we're born into this life, we come selfish, don't we? Children are very self-centered, self-focused. They try to please themselves. They'll quickly grab a toy out of their friend's hand. If they see it looks like that's what they want, they grab it. Sad to say, many people have that mentality and they keep that mentality as they grow. And their life is wrought with trouble and heartache when it's centered around self-seeking and self-pleasing. To honor, and there's a lot of different scriptures, but the Lord wants our actions. There's a scripture here in Galatians I wanted to read to us this morning, in the 5th chapter. He said, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. To me, that bite and devour, that's becoming critical. It's becoming harsh, hard, censorious, judgmental. If you bite and devour one another, running someone else down, talking evil about somebody else, biting and devouring. He said, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You know, that's happened before in organizations. It's happened in congregations. It's happened in down through the annals of time when people began to devour, began to bite and devour one another. He said, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. It destroys. It diminishes. It hurts. It afflicts. There's nothing good that comes out of biting and devouring one another. There's a place for healthful advice or counsel. There's a place for instruction. But the attitude of our heart and spirit at those times must be a spirit of love, a spirit of edifying, a spirit of trying to bless and be a help and a blessing to someone else. If it's just biting and devouring, if it's just our coming from a hurt or an attitude, then we're going to do more damage than we are good. And it's better that we left those things unsaid than to bite and devour and hurt the cause of Christ. Here he said, you've been called into liberty. And I also was thinking about the scriptures talk about, in one place it says, receive him that is weak in the faith. He says, one believes that he can eat herbs and he pleases God by eating herbs, and the other one believes that he can eat meat and please God by eating meat. And the scripture cautions in that place. He said, be careful how you handle, how other people view. If we're not careful, we can be careless. And we can vaunt. And we can kind of throw it in their face, so to speak. Well, they're wrong. They need to see it rightly anyway. Now, Paul, in that place, he said, I believe it was on that same occasion, he said, I'll not eat meat if it causes my brother to be offended. If it's going to hurt him and injure him, I'd rather abstain from doing something that would injure him than to just ride over. And all through the scriptures is this thread of honor, of being able to respect and honor those that are around us. I think about also the scripture. I was reading Romans, the 13th chapter. It's referring to the government. You know, I thank God for government this morning. I thank the Lord for laws, regulations. I know all of them are maybe not altogether just and what we think would be proper and appropriate, but think if there was no law and it was total chaos. Every man to himself. That'd be pretty bad, wouldn't it? And I believe here it says he's talking about verse 1, he says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or condemnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. If we're being motivated by love, and we want to do that which is right and upright, then that is going to fulfill the laws. And you know that fulfills, you may not even know all the laws of the land. But if you love your neighbor, and you're trying to edify your neighbor, and you're trying to do him right, be fair and just, you're going to automatically follow the law and be good and do good. The Lord wants us to honor authority, honor government. There are people that don't believe in paying taxes. You come across them every now and then that they don't believe that they should give their money to the government. I don't believe that's very scriptural. You remember Jesus told Peter to go get a fish and whatever he took out of the fish's mouth, go pay the tribute for me and thee. Also, he talked about the coin. They asked him, said, should we pay tribute to Caesar or no? And he took a coin, he looked at it, and he said, whose inscription is on here? I said, Caesar's. Give unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, unto God the things that belong to God. I don't know how people get that, but this not to pay taxes, because he mentions here, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You know, the highways that we drive on, where do they come from? They come from taxes. They come from giving money to the government. Then the government maintains the roads. They maintain taxes. Many of the things that we enjoy and many of the things that people don't pay taxes, the people that don't pay taxes are enjoying the fruit of those that are paying taxes. But we have a responsibility as God-fearing people to provide things honest in the sight of God and in the sight of man. I don't believe on cheating on taxes and justifying it, saying, well, the government does this with it and they do this. I have no control over what the government does. They do things that I don't agree with. I don't have that. But I know the Scriptures tell me to honor the government. It teaches, if you resist the power, I'm resisting the ordinance of God, because God ordained that government should take place. Well, I believe that comes down to every level, on the job. You know, there's rules on the job that we have. Things that you're supposed to do and things that you're not supposed to do on the job. And to respect those and to honor those is very pleasing to the Lord. And I know God, and I'll mention this, God gives us room when it violates what we feel that God wants us, the apostles in one place, they told them not to preach in this name. God told them to preach. Told them to give the message and get the message out to the world. And they were saying, don't preach. And they had an answer. They said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And we have that this morning. When the laws of man cross the laws of God, we must obey God. We can't compromise that. Regardless of the cost, regardless of what may come, regardless of suffering, we cannot compromise obeying the laws of God to satisfy the law of man when it disagrees with the laws of God. We've got to obey the laws of God. God gives us that room. But when the laws of man does not contradict the laws of God, then I am obliged by the Scriptures to be in a place of honoring those that are in authority and doing what I can. And it's the same way on the job. I honor those that are over me, my boss, my employer. I respect their perspectives, their feelings, their ideas of how things should be, should go. When I'm under them, then I should respect them. I believe that's our responsibility this morning. And God blesses that. And He honors that. And the Lord wants us to have that spirit in our hearts and our lives where we honor those that are in authority. There's another scripture here I want to get in Jude, the 8th chapter. I mean, not the 8th chapter, the 8th verse, Jude. He says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, thus not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. I want to caution us this morning to be careful of the spirit that we allow ourselves to have. We don't always agree with the direction and the head, the direction of our leaders. We don't always agree with their morality. We don't always agree with the direction that their life is taking and the direction they want to take the country. But there is no place for us this morning, I don't believe. There is no place for us to begin to rail, to speak evil of dignities. To me, that is lowering our character and lowering the standard of holiness and righteousness. And he said here that they're not afraid. Filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities, dignitaries. Those are in rulership. We live in a world that is so promulgated in our society today. Jokes that are made about rulers and about the things that they're doing. And I want to caution us this morning that we have a caution and a fear about what we say and what comes out of our mouth and the reflection that we cast, even when it doesn't line up with... And it's that way with our enemies. It's that way with every area of our life. There's a place for us to have a caution and a respect, even though we don't agree with everything they might present or that they might stand for. The Lord wants us to have a reverence and an honor. I believe another place He said, honor all men. He talked about honor the brotherhood. the saints, our conduct with one another, the Lord wants it to be in honor, honoring one another. Another scripture I wanted to get is in the, I believe it's in the book of Ephesians. I wanted to mention a little bit about the home. Ephesians, the fifth chapter and the 24th verse, he says, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." You know, the home is a sacred place. The relationship between a husband and a wife is the closest relationship that you'll ever have in life. A husband and wife become vulnerable to one another. They're entrusting. And when my wife said those vows to me years ago, about 26 almost, she was putting her future, her life, into my hands. That's almost more than I can take in. She was saying to me, "I trust you to be a father, to be a husband to me. I'm trusting your commitment to me for the rest of your life." And that's what our vows was, till death do us part, as long as we had life. The vows included in sickness and in health, in richness or in poverty. Whatever life would present to us, we vowed to one another. You know, marriage is a very sacred trust this morning. The world has belittled it. The world has undermined it. But Jesus, one place he talked about, he brought them back to the remember when they asked him, can every put away their wife for every cause? And he took them back to the very beginning. And he said, how do you read? He made them male and female. One couple is really what the Lord intends. One husband, one wife. Lifelong commitment. And we ought not to enter that commitment very lightly. I prayed much about it. My wife prayed a whole lot about it. You got to consecrate it. You got to seek the Lord's will. It's a very... very big step, very serious step. And but I want to say it's very rewarding. It's very beautiful. It has great, wonderful benefits to it. of being able to walk together with somebody through life, to enjoy children together, to go to the coast together, to go through the seasons of life together, is a very beautiful and wonderful privilege and opportunity that God has given us. We don't want to ever allow marriage just to become second place. We don't want to allow it to become commonplace. We don't want it to just allow it to be, and I see this many times in homes and marriages where there's a failure to truly honor. You know, when you come from two different backgrounds and you were raised, I'd recommend you try to find someone that was raised a lot like you were in the faith. There is great adjustment, different personalities. There's great adjustments. There's a learning. I thought I had a pretty good knowledge of marriage. You know, I'd read a few things about marriage. But I realized I didn't know quite what I thought I knew after I'd been married a few years. There's nothing quite like experience. It's a little bit different than the way it is in the book. Because when you experience it, you're there feeling it, and you're seeing it, and you're living there. And it's a little bit different than just how the book says it sometimes. But it's something that we want to keep sacred and honorable. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. You know how marriages end in divorce? Because honor is broken. It doesn't happen just at once. It happens little by little over time. Selfishness begins to set in, or maybe it's started. That's why it's so important for us to look at the quality of the person. Do they really love me? Are they going to really sacrifice for me? Are they going to be faithful to me? We better watch closely the character of when I looked at my wife, I saw in her virtue. I saw things that I believed she was faithful to God. I believe she loved the Lord. And that's one of the things that really drew me. And I saw in her a humility and a love. I saw that's where her heart was at. And you know, looking back now, I don't know all that I... Looking back now, when I see all that life has transpired, I say that the Lord knew who I needed. And the Scriptures talk about marrying in the Lord. But it's to be conducted in honor, in reverence, in respect. Our words in honor, in love, and respect. Because if we begin to bite, and I began to accuse, you know, I find it hard to accuse when I see my own faults. You ever have that? It's very difficult to be hard on someone else when you see your weaknesses and your shortcomings and your failures. And we want to keep those in view. But it's very important for us to maintain a atmosphere of honor and respect in our homes. And I'll say that goes with the children also. Children, one to another. You know, we live in families or close quarters. Sometimes we share bedrooms. And we eat the table together. We work together. Play together. And sometimes we can rub one another the wrong way. And it takes long suffering. It takes patience. I'm talking about by love, serve one another. If you began to live to yourself and thinking towards yourself and I want to please myself, you're going to hurt those that are around about you. But if you have a thought, Lord, help me to bless my sister. Help me to be a blessing to my brother. Help me to be a blessing. The Scripture also brings out the thought about honoring your father and your mother. That goes in every area of our life. I wanted to, maybe we'll read that Scripture in Matthew. Jesus talked about the Pharisees were criticizing Him for disciples not washing their hands. And this Scripture has stood out to me, if I can find it. Matthew, the 15th chapter. And Jesus answered back in verse 3, said, He answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commandeth, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now here they were saying that people could, it's actually talking about money, physical sustenance. But he says, my margin here says that wherewith thou mightest have been profited by me is given to God. And say it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest been profited by me. And I believe that what this Scripture is saying is there is a responsibility in honoring our parents that involves monetary means, if possible. And I know it goes beyond, it goes help, and I see a wonderful example of that with Terry and Anita, how they're taking care of their mother, Sister Ruby, that has needs. And they've taken her into her home, and they're seeing after her and seeing that her needs are being met. I believe that's what the Scripture is referring to. And they were just giving it all to the church, you might say, and saying, well, it's given to the... I gave it all to the church. But Jesus said, the commandment is to honor your father and mother. And I believe there's a balance. Yes, we give to the church, but there's also a place that we honor our father and our mother, and we tend to their needs. I remember Kent and I being in the garage one time years ago. I think he was about six, and we were talking. I made comment. I guess the way he responded is why I remember it so well. It just stands out to me. But I made comment to him. I said, Kent, you have a roof over your head, and you got a bed to sleep in, and you've got clothes on, and you got things to enjoy, and said, you know, that costs money. He thought about it a little bit. I said, also, besides that, when you were a baby, we bought lots of diapers. And we changed your diaper. And we took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. And he looked at me and was thinking about that. Then I went on to say, there may come a time in my life when Dad needs your help. When I may not be able to do like I'm doing now, and I may need you to come in and help me. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, I never thought about that before. I'll never forget that. By love, serve one another. They're our parents, our mom and dad. They're the only ones that you have. Love them. Serve them. Honor them. That is the height to me of spiritual attainment. Not pleasing ourselves, but seeking to be a blessing to those that are around about us. Life is good when there is love. That is a language that everybody knows. Isn't it? They may not understand all the doctrines. They may not understand all the reasons and purposes behind different things that we stand for and we do. But I want to say people understand the language of love. That's a language that every nationality understands, is it not? They understand that in Russia, Brother Andre?
Yes, sure.
They do. Germany, Pakistan, Italy, USA. People understand the language of love. And it opens doors. And it opens hearts. And that's why the Lord wants us, He said, by love. Not self-centeredness, not self-focused, seeing what I could do. One of the presidents, I believe it was Kennedy, said, what did he say? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Ask not what people can do for you, but what you can do for them. To lift their load, to encourage. The Scriptures talk a whole lot about edify. I've come across this word the past weeks, over and over and over. Edify. Edify. What's that mean? Anyone have an answer?
To lift up.
What's that?
Lift up.
To lift up. To build up. To encourage. Do we have faults and failures? Yeah, most of us do. But love covers a multitude. Through love, the Lord can enable you and I to look beyond the surface, to look beyond the faults and the failures, and to love. Jesus had that ability. He was able to love those that didn't love Him. He was able to love His enemies. He was able to humble Himself through all that. Wasn't easy. And it's not easy for us either. But by God's grace, we can serve one another by love. And that's my message this morning. By love, serve one another.